meant. You could not stand the terror of it. The malice of all eternity is waiting for us, never resting, never pausing, probing for any weakness it can claw its way into. Look at these rusting walls. Look at these decaying blocks. They are all that keeps the terror out. We are in a fight for survival, for our bodies, for our minds. In that fight, I will take any weapon I can find, no matter how foul or how unjust, and I will preserve it with every fiber of my dying body. You are an honorable man, Salvo Lermontov. I regret to say it, but the galaxy spits on honorable men.
You say these things. They sound like wisdom, but they are lies.
Oh, yes?
You're an actor. A good one, you'd have to be. You pretend not to be disgusted by what you serve, but you are. Deep down, perhaps, you're even honorable too. Just like me.
Ah. So now you will try to convince me that we are cut from the same cloth, you and me. You will tell me that I am too good for the Inquisition, that its secrets have spoiled my soul.
You do the Militarum a disservice. We were never as ignorant as we were supposed to be. And you never asked me what I was trying to do, back before your interrogator found us. No one ever asks. They just hunt us down.
Tell me now, then!
We were an army. A faithful army. We would have slit the High Lord's throats if he'd been able to, but we would have fought for every other citizen of those hives. We were giving them a hope. That was the dangerous thing. For the first time in living memory, they were not informing on one another, stealing from one another, trying to kill their neighbor to claim their med ration. Suppose you are right, and we are losing this war. Now imagine this army, raised from the masses. The ones we're always told the Emperor cares most for. Imagine if the billions living here could all be made into fighters, and were not half starved and wretched, but strong and determined and full of belief. That was my vision. They were afraid when we started. They did not stay afraid. It was a thing of beauty to see them fight in those tunnels. And they died far better than they'd ever lived.
And you would have been their general.
They followed me.
And you would be wise and uncorrupted and lead them into glory.
I never wanted glory.
Yes, you did. You still do. It always starts this way. You all say the same things. I know the dangers, Inquisitor, but I will conquer them. Others have fallen into temptation, but I will resist. Others may succumb to hubris, but I will remain pious. Give me power, just a little power, and I will show you the truth of it. There are entire worlds, bled of life, turning like tombstones in the void, that are testament to what happens when those words earn the benefit of the doubt. List every name of infamy in the history of our species. Vangorich, Vandyre, even Horus himself. And at the beginning of their story, you will find a single soul pleading, "But I will be different." You still do not see the danger. You still do not see the crime.
One, then, that you are immune from.
Far from it. Even now, members of my own order are planning to bring me to a cell just like this one. It goes So to say, with the territory.
But still, you are trusted with knowledge.
Someone has to be.
Then tell me more of it.
Your pardon?
You have warriors in your retinue. You will need more now. You will need those who know the Underhives, who have the trust of those who live there. Your interrogator will vouch for me. We fought at one another's shoulder, and she will not forget that.
I'm not sure you know Spinoza very well. She urged your destruction quite vehemently.
But you didn't grant her request. Is this your purpose? Not a game, but a test. That's why you're telling me these things.
Be wary now.
It would be a waste to kill me. A stupid waste. I can still serve.
You are a traitor.
You do not wish to kill me.
Do not tell me what I may or may not.
You say you never learned to enjoy it. I believe you.
It matters not whether...
You hate this work.
No more than...
The stupidity. The waste. You hate it all.
Of course I do.
Enough. All that could be done has been done.
I can still fight.
But you cannot listen.
You are a judge of character. Spinoza told me that. You can see the pointlessness of this. You know I'm loyal. You know I wish to serve. You know what led my people to do what they did.
I do.
Then what purpose does this serve? To uphold the law? You are beyond the law.
None of us are beyond the law.
End it then. End this waste of time. For a moment you convince me. You convince me you might not be a slave. That you are a man in command of your own soul. Now I see that you are no different to the rest. You are as decayed as the Imperium itself. You are a part of it. Just another ruined part of it. Why do you hesitate? I am not afraid. Do it. I did just as you asked. Everything I told you was true.
I know it was. As was everything I told you.
Eye of Night by Gav Thorpe. Performed by Annie Aldington, Gareth Armstrong, Cliff Chapman, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, and Melvin Rawlinson. Part 1.
Halt! Unannounce yourself!
You know me, Custodian. I am no stranger to the halls of the Imperial Palace. I have been summoned by the Lord Commander.
Protocol stands. Have you not heard of Polymorphine, Inquisitor? Identify yourself for voice recognition.
Inquisitor Katarina Greyfax, Special Envoy to the Lord Commander. And if you value this duty rather than a posting to guarding the sewer ingress, open the door now.
Voice authenticated.
I am no shapeshifter, Custodian. Now, stand aside.
Despite familiarity over the course of recent events, Greyfax still found herself ill-prepared for the presence of Rabute Gilliman. She had faced deadly otherworldly foes that would shrive the senses from an ordinary mortal, yet was left dumbfounded at the sight of the returned Primarch. It was not his size alone that stole her breath, though that was intimidating. It was not the knowledge that she stood before a demigod engineered by the hand of the Emperor himself, though that was awe-inspiring. There was simply an aura that bespoke greatness. It robbed her senses of scale, twisting perception as to what was normal and what was supernatural. Even her psychic talent balked at touching upon the immense soul of Gilliman. The Primarch sat alone, surrounded by tables laden with books, scrolls, and data crystals. He looked up as she entered, expression grim.
Katarina, gratitude for your swift response.
He indicated for her to approach with a sweep of his huge hand.
I have been studying records released to me by the Inquisition. There is much we do not understand about the Great Rift and what has occurred. But ignorance is not a new experience for me.
I cannot think of you as ignorant, Lord Commander.
If we consider ourselves wise, we are already fools, Katarina. As such, we found ourselves 10,000 years ago, when the machinations of my brother, Lorgar, beset the Imperium with the Ruin Storm.
The similarities have not been lost on the Inquisition, Lord Commander, I assure you. The Great Rift eclipses that divide by several magnitudes.
It does. Yet it has a similar source. The warp. Conjured by ritual and magic, sacrifice and demonology.
Greyfax suppressed an outburst that such matters should not be spoken of so candidly, even here in the heart of the Imperial Palace.
The Ruin Storm was created by design of our foes, and so too the Great Rift. I see a pattern, and I believe I know the source.
A pattern, Lord Commander? Our best logikai and historiographica have not seen as such.
They never set foot on worlds such as Davin, Katarina. I know this spore, and I have followed it back through these records. I do not have a solution, but I think I know where we can begin looking. The Gothic War.
That was centuries ago.
Merely a blink of the Eye of Terror. One of your predecessors, Inquisitor Horst, believed that two artifacts were taken to aid Ezekiel Abaddon in his crusade against the Gothic sector.
The Hand of Darkness and the Eye of Night. I have read the reports. Horst is considered a maverick. His speculation undocumented.
Yet something allowed Abaddon to take over the Blackstone fortresses and turn them against the Imperium. And Horst's speculation remains the only theory as to how.
Standing, Gilliman was even more overwhelming, even beneath the vast dome of the Hall of Glories.
Not all of Horst's reports were received on Terra. His findings are incomplete. We need to know what else he discovered.
I am to be an archivist.
I need you to travel to Savarvin to find the original texts.
Our hidden enclave on the Cardinal World is no more. Savarvin was destroyed by Abaddon's planet killer, Lord Commander. It is nothing but rocks and dust.
A coincidence that it was targeted by such a deadly weapon? A world dedicated to the Ecclesiarchy, when more militarily important targets were not touched?
You think Abaddon knew of the Inquisition fortress beneath the cathedrals?
Possibly, and maybe knew even of Horst's investigations, and wished to hide something he uncovered. Which is why I expect you to be diligent in your search.
The Gothic sector has almost been enveloped by the expansion of the Eye of Terror. I will need a fleet and an army.
I have spoken to Grandmaster Voldus. You may have a single ship and a squad of Grey Knights. I do not want the records, Katarina. I want you to bring me the Eye of Night.
And the Hand of Darkness?
I have other plans in motion for its retrieval. Voldus's warriors await you in orbit.
It irked Greyfax to be so ordered and dismissed, but she could not stop herself bowing and acceding to the Primarch's intent. Even before she understood fully what he had said, she was already heading for the door. Another piece set in motion in the game being played out for the future of the Imperium and mankind.
Brother Justicar Genhain, we have established position over the proximal point of Savarban.
Inform Inquisitor Grey...
No need, Justicar. I am aware of our arrival.
The throbbing in Greyfax's thoughts that had begun when they translated into the system had increased to such an intensity it was like the beating of a second heart in her head.
Do you detect it also, Justicar? The pulse of an old beacon.
I feel its presence, Inquisitor. It is not for me to judge its purpose.
No, it is not. You shall be my shield while I explore this mystery. Lend your will to mine.
She felt the first touch of the Grey Knight's thoughts, like cold steel on warm flesh, startling and acute. Greyfax fought the urge to rebuff the advance and instead opened up the barriers erected about her mind, allowing the psychic strength of the Justicar to blend with her thoughts. Thus bolstered, Greyfax finally allowed herself to accept the psychic whisper that had been intruding upon her mind, drawing it into her thoughts. She recognized immediately the presence that had left it. Horst. Though she had never met the Inquisitor, the psychic spur left an instant impression. Haste, desperation, fear. And that was all. No message. Greyfax pushed Genhain out of her thoughts and slammed down her psychic wards.
I need no powers to discern your mood, Inquisitor. The contents were not to your liking.
Proximity alert, Justicar. Another ship.
Genhain moved to the monitors, forcing Greyfax to step aside with his bulky Terminator armor. He examined the terminal for several seconds.
Frigate-class vessel, unknown designation. Orbital position above one of the larger debris asteroids. It seems we are not alone in these ruins.
Some other hand guides our foes to thwart us. Attack, Justicar.
My thoughts exactly.
The enemy had not been expecting a foe to come upon them, and had paid no mind to keeping watch. The Malleus Rex fell upon their starship like a pouncing lion, raking the unshielded ship with crippling fire even as Greyfax and the Justicar squad teleported to the surface. Here, they found the broken ruins of a grand cathedral. All that remained were the stumps of pillars of a great portico and several dozen rows of pews, oddly still intact upon a piece of mosaic-covered rock half a kilometer across. The beacon sensation that had occupied Greyfax was of a greater intensity on the planet's surface. It seemed more like a laser-link transmission to her than a general broadcast. She could feel its source a few meters beneath her feet. Clad in void suits shaped like overlapping insectoid plates beneath the luminous robes, their ship ablaze with a fire a few kilometers above them, the interlopers were oblivious to the arriving warriors as they searched among the broken remnants of cloisters. They wore vacuum masks shaped as grotesque cackling gargoyles, leering clown visages and bird faces, bringing to mind the illustrations of demons Greyfax had seen in the Liber Chaotica. Servants of the Changing One.
Do you wish to interrogate any of them?
There is nothing to be learned from the ravings of a heretic. Terminate them all!
Greyfax allowed the Justicar and his Grey Knights to take the lead. This was what they had been created for. Superhuman warriors clad in reinforced plasteel, adamantium, and cydamite. Nemesis Force halberds glowing against the stark blackness of the airless sky, the Grey Knights raised their Vambrace Stormbolters and opened fire. The flicker of bolts lit the darkness. Lasbeams sliced back as cultists scattered for cover behind statues of ancient saints and shattered choir stalls. The near vacuum blanketed everything, muffling the exchange of fire with an unreal quiet. Greyfax saw red and purple robes ripped to tatters and silvery void suits torn apart by bolt impacts, their occupants flailing and stumbling as air exploded from their lungs and blood boiled in their veins from explosive decompression.
Purge them! Charge them the fee of treachery!
There is none so despised as a traitor.
Greyfax sent forth her will, turning it into a hammer blow with which he crushed the souls of her enemies.
Kneel before the Emperor! Bow down before his might! Submit to the one true Lord!
As she advanced, the cultists fled, her thoughts beating upon their spirits like a battering ram at the gates of a castle keep. Several fell to their knees, hands up to implore her to stop. Others stumbled beneath the onslaught and shouted out entreaties to their twisted deity.
Accept your deaths. Judgment has found you. I am the edge of the blade. Nothing shall stand before me!
The Grey Knights drove the last few cultists into the archway of a catacomb stairwell. Brother Axius advanced with purpose. The gleam from the ignition flame of his incinerator caught the mosaic tiles on the floor.
Thou shalt be purified!
The wash of white fire filled the archway and the chamber beyond. The landing ended abruptly, one set of stairs spiraling down to the right. Ahead, the tattered remnants of a tapestry still adorned the wall. Genhain ordered his men down the step. At the bottom was an ornate metal archway, the shimmer of an old force field still visible between the crystal-threaded steel. Within, the atmosphere of Savarvan was still intact. They came upon another doorway, sealed by rune-marked bricks. The plaque above the walled portal of the mausoleum was dedicated to Saint Carthage, but the continuing insistence of the psychic pulse betrayed the lie of what was beyond. Greyfax waved the Grey Knights forward.
Breach this wall. The secrets of Savarvan are close.
I think that this dead place hides more secrets than will be found in a burial chamber or a hidden archive. Can you hear the ghosts of his victims, Inquisitor?
Greyfax was more concerned with the grating inside her thoughts caused by the side trail, and did not reply. At a gesture from his Justicar brother, Nerik set about the bricks with his lightning-wreathed hammer. His relentless blows made short work of the barrier. Beyond was a crypt, or so it seemed at first glance. Greyfax stepped carefully over the rubble, the interior of the tomb lit by the soot lamps of her escorts. Within the crypt was a sarcophagus, unadorned save for a small symbol of the Inquisition discreetly inscribed on one end. Frowning, Greyfax searched for some sign of a data corder or cogitator terminal, but the room was quite bare of records and machinery.
It must be concealed within. Lift the lid.
Motioning to one of his companions, Genhain took hold of one end of the slab that covered the grave, his fellow Grey Knight the other. They lifted and steered the heavy stone aside, almost dropping the heavy weight in surprise, as they revealed an armored suit within. The plate of a Grey Knight paladin lay nestled in the sarcophagus. A burst of psychic power flooded the room, dazzling Greyfax's second sight with its intensity. Staggered, she gripped the edge of the sarcophagus to steady herself. A moment later, a gauntleted hand fell upon hers as the suit within sat up.
Praise the Emperor! I thought nobody would find me.
Greyfax tore her hand away and raised her weapon unwavering toward the apparition's head.
I am Inquisitor Horst, and I am not entirely sure that would do you any good if I was not. There is no physical shell within this armor to destroy.
Greyfax could not believe what she heard. She reached out on instinct and grasped the mask of the Space Marine helmet. She tore it away. The Inquisitor took a step back. Within the armored plates, her eyes met the empty stare of a fleshless skull, a dull flicker of light within them.
This is not possible. Centuries have passed since Horst was lost.
The jaw moved as it spoke, but no actual sound issued forth.
Centuries? I thought perhaps decades. This is worse than I imagined. We have to stop Abaddon.
Your warning comes far too late, Inquisitor. The Despoiler's plans have come to fruition.
Holy Terror has fallen.
Not yet, but the Imperium is beset in a way not seen for 10,000 years. Abaddon's Black Crusade and the Xenos besiege us. The galaxy is riven by storms, and the rule of the Emperor is divided.
The armored suit climbed out of its tomb and looked around. It reached out a hand, retrieved the faceplate from Greyfax, and fitted it back to the open helm, hiding the skull. Despite her doubts, Greyfax knew from the psychic contact that this was, against all reason and expectation, Inquisitor Thedas Falconet Horst. At least, what remained of him.
I recognize the armor of Paladin Bellicus. How did you come by it, Inquisitor?
We have more pressing matters to attend, I am sure.
Indeed. We seek the Eye of Night. Do you know of its location?
Not as such, but I can lead you to one that can. Morriana the Crone, who sees all from her lair in the Eye of Terror. She it was that guided Abaddon to the Eye of Night, and it is from her we will learn of its current location. What forces have you at your disposal?
Those you see here, nothing more.
We are bound to follow this course to its end, even into the Eye of Terror. Our strength shall not falter.
Eye of Night by Gav Thor. Performed by Annie Aldington, Gareth Armstrong, Cliff Chapman, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, and Melvin Rawlinson. Part 2.
It seems you were right, Horst. This forsaken swamp seems a fitting refuge for a traitorous crone.
It has changed since I last passed by. Remember that we are now within the fringes of the Eye of Terror. Substance is mutable here. I have a dim recollection of a blizzard-swept mountainside.
I know that there are tracts dedicated to the investigation of the witch, but I have only ever seen passing mention. What did you learn of her?
Little more than the speculation that existed before. Her name is anathema to any Imperial servant, but the forces of the False War Master and the Dark Gods are wary of her loyalty also. She serves the powers directly, some say, harboring no mortal ambition of her own.
It is rumored that she was once of the Ordo Malis.
No. Morriana is older even than the Ordos, if the first testimonies are to be believed. A name drawn in the ashes of the Horus Heresy. Writ in the blood and entrails of Imperial servants.
Mind the waters! We are not alone!
No mortal guardians patrol the path to Morriana's lair. Bar the gates of your mind, even as you defend your body!
The creatures that burst from the rippling mire were of no mortal origin, such was obvious immediately. Standing taller even than the Grey Knights, Morriana's demonic guardians seemed to be made of skeletal stone, clad in tendrils of water plants and slicked with wet moss. Swamp water streamed from their straightening bodies, running over black bones to fall into the mud. Their eyes were pits of dark green, glowing and flickering as though lit by an unearthly flame. Mouths of rocky splinters parted, revealing flint fangs and lashing crystal tongues. In phalangeal digits, the swamp fiends held contorting flails, each tipped with three reed-like cables threaded through clusters of chattering bird skulls. Their other hands formed snapping claws, serrated with razor sharpness. Surrounded, Greyfax and her companions opened fire immediately. The fog of the marshes swirled through with a flicker of sanctified bolt rounds and the searing flash of Nemesis Force weapons.
Throne of Terror! Smite them!
Raising up their inhuman war cries, the demons closed all about the interlopers into their realm. Bathed in the sacred flames of Axios's incinerator, the swamp fiends recoiled, followed by a volley of blessed storm bolter fire that tore chunks from their conjured forms and sent them reeling and spasming back into the waters. Licks of white fire continue to ripple across the pyrethium slicked over the marsh, setting light to beds of finger-like rushes and upthrusts of fingerbone stems.
Are they gone?
We are in the realm between realms. Nothing here is mortal but that which we bring with us. Look with your thoughts, not your eyes, brother.
Greyfax knew of what the Justicar spoke. The demonic energy of the Guardians had dissipated, but it was not yet banished. The entire miserable world was nothing more than a mirage created out of the whims and dreams of Moriana. Even as she scoured their surroundings telepathically, she sensed the eddies and vortices of power gathering again. More demons, the same or new ones, it mattered not, were reforming.
Not much farther to go.
Horst lifted a gauntleted hand and pointed ahead. Through the mists and gloom, something like a large stalagmite rose from the swamp, its flanks jutting with spines. Tatters of gossamer-like webbing trailed from some of the spines. Others were adorned with decaying heads and hands, or held the moldering remains of banners dating back to the legions. Greyfax recognized symbols and pictographs of the Sons of Horus, the World Eaters, Death Guard, and others.
Tribute from traitor warbands seeking the guidance of the Hag.
Advance. We shall guard the rear.
Armor your thoughts, Horst. There is no end to the evil sorcery of this place.
The two Inquisitors strode ahead to swiftly cover the remaining ground. They reached firmer footing around the base of the Hag's abode. Closeness revealed it as an immense hillock made of branches and bones, bound with fraying rope and glistening sinew, daubed with offal and mud. Green fire, like that which had lit the demon's eyes, burned within a gash-like opening a few meters above the waters of the swamp. Greyfax took the lead, her sanctified bolter ready, the gleam of her power sword lighting the fog around them. Underfoot, the ground gave slightly, like walking across flesh. Her focus was set upon the opening ahead. Her thoughts sensed nothing within, not the remotest flicker of energy apart from the demon stuff that surrounded them. She ducked into the abode of the Hag. Inside, she found a cave lit with jade firelight. A figure in ragged green robes sat near the flames with a short blade in one hand, a scrimshaw bone in the other. Greyfax focused on the ornament in Moriana's hand, a wand made of two entwined slender figures with mouths open in terror, almond-shaped eyes and pointed ears, marking them out as facsimiles of the alien Eldar.
You have found Moriana, the crones here. Your weapons are not needed here. Moriana will tell you whatever you wish to know.
Your doom has found you, traitor. This will be your last day. Know that your end will be excruciating, and that you will deliver up all that we desire before your demise.
That is partly true, slave of the false emperor. Moriana has already promised that Moriana will reveal that which you seek. You have come for the Eye of Night. Moriana does not have it. But Moriana can tell you where it will be found.
Why would you willingly help us?
Because it serves Moriana to do so. Mutual benefit.
Horst entered, his armor brushing clods of dried mud and bones from the frame of the door as he squeezed his bulk into the grotto.
Oh, what manner of thing have you brought here? Moriana did not think that the Emperor's lackeys stooped to necromancy.
Greyfax ignored the insult and pointed the tip of her blade towards the throat of the hag.
Speak freely, and your end will be swift and without terror.
The crone's smile crept slowly across her withered lips as she regarded Greyfax from beneath the hooded lids of her eyes. Moriana laid the scrimshaw in her lap and knotted her fingers together.
You cannot kill Moriana. What you desire is inside Moriana's head and nowhere else.
I bring only your death. The manner of it is, briefly, within your power to choose.
The crone said nothing and turned her head, offering up the grotesquely pulsing artery within her withered neck.
She is speaking the truth. She would rather die than give us what we want.
You underestimate my prowess at inducement.
She is not a mortal, not as we understand it. Who can say if she even feels pain anymore?
I am willing to test that theory.
We do not have the time. We have no leverage here. Ask her what she wants.
Moriana watched them silently throughout the exchange, unable to hear their vox communications, but doubtless aware of it.
We do not strike bargains with the enemies of the Emperor.
Moriana sees from your expression that you are racked by a doubt. Moriana cannot make this clearer to you. Moriana wishes to tell you this information. Simply give up this ego-driven need to demand it of Moriana, and it is freely yours.
What do you want in return?
The crone's smile became a broken-toothed leer of triumph, her eyes glinting with malignant intent.
Ask Moriana. Nicely.
Greyfax was but a moment from drawing back her sword to strike off the impudent witch's head when she felt the intrusion of Horst's soul into her mind.
Set aside your pride. We are inquisitors of the Emperor. We judge our own actions. No other authority save he on the throne holds sway. Choke back your disgust and do as she says, for the sake of all we strive for.
Her hand trembled. The desire to strike with the blade matched against the logic of Horst's words. It gave Greyfax an almost physical pain to accede to the machinations of a chaos hag.
She is using us, manipulating us. She is a tool of Abaddon and will lead us astray. This was a mistake. I will rid the galaxy of her presence and we will find another way.
Moriana narrowed her eyes, guessing something of the Inquisitor's intent, perhaps. Her fingers fidgeted with a scrimshaw.
See? She values her life still. We shall take her back to the ship, and when we have rent her flesh and seared her soul, she will beg repentance and confess all of her sins.
Horst's rebuke struck her thoughts like a blow.
You are willing to throw away everything for your righteousness. An Inquisitor must be flexible to tread the harder road that others cannot. You are a disgrace to the Ordo if you throw away this chance for nothing more than petty vengeance.
She hated this. Too many of the Inquisition had strayed down that road, turning from the light to the grey, and then, without knowing it, falling to the darkness.
What is the point of fighting chaos if we are to bargain away that which keeps the Imperium together?
Nothing holds the Imperium together, Greyfax. It is simply the dregs of the Emperor's creation, washing down the great maelstrom of destiny in close proximity to each other, sustained only by unfeeling momentum. But we must strive to build something better each day and not accept this dismal future.
The other Inquisitor withdrew his presence, leaving Greyfax feeling momentarily empty and alone. But then, with a newfound sense of purpose, her will and righteousness swiftly filled the void again.
few are the true victories we can win. Today is not one of them. The Eye of Night is the weapon we seek to strike back, not just at Moriana, but all the servants of the Dark Powers. She has no more fondness for Abaddon than you or I, and would happily sacrifice him to further her own twisted ends.
Moriana grows impatient, young one. Moriana will summon forth more guardians if you continue to waste Moriana's time.
Her barbs fail to find their mark. Thoughts cleared by Horst's intervention, Greyfax realized that Moriana wanted her to attack, to give the hag reason not to cooperate.
Grant me a boon, crone, and tell me the location of the Eye of Night. Please, Moriana.
Moriana picked up her scrimshaw and jabbed it at Horst, causing Greyfax to tense, her psychic potential flaring in expectation of a sorcerous attack. She felt foolish as it quickly transpired that the hag was merely using it to emphasize her next point.
You have already found the Eye of Night.
She will try to bait you still. Do not give her the victory of your frustration.
What do you mean, crone? Your words are as twisted and baseless as your loyalty.
Moriana opened her arms and gave a slow shrug, her expression amused within the embrace of her ragged hood.
Exactly as Moriana says, slave to the Emperor. No riddles. Your companion, when he was alive, found the location of the Eye of Night. More than that, he recovered it.
Is that true?
Why would I have brought us here if I already had the Eye of Night?
Stepping back to keep both Horst and Moriana in view, Greyfax held her blade pointed at the hag while aiming her bolter at the animated warplate.
Why, indeed? What conspiracy is this with which you think you intend to ensnare me?
This is an unexpected pleasure. Moriana guessed right that your fumbling spirit companion does not remember our previous encounter. It is as Moriana claims. The Eye of Night lies in the grasp of his dead hand. Dead in a merely physical sense, of course. Life, death, material, immaterial, good, evil. There is no point bringing such delusions into the Eye of Terror. Chaos has a way of mocking your binary certainties.
Greyfax smiled.
You have misstepped, benighted hag. If it is, as you say, that the Eye of Night is on the corpse of Horst, I no longer need you alive.
Oh, no! Moriana's goading has undone Moriana again. Ooh, whatever will become of Moriana?
Your subterfuge has failed. It will only be a matter of time until I locate the Eye of Night. Do you wish to lessen my effort in return for a painless demise?
I think that perhaps it is too early to draw conclusions. We may still need her.
If what she confesses to be true is so, then all we have to do is return to the place of your death to claim the Eye of Night.
It would seem so, yet...
What? What could cause you to delay the rightful execution of this wretched creature?
I have... I cannot remember it. I have no recollection of how or where I died.
It took a moment for Greyfax to absorb and analyze this information.
You do not know how you died or what killed you. You don't remember dying.
She took the Inquisitor's continued silence as a confession and rounded on Mariana. The hag flexed her bony fingers, broken nails glinting like burnished iron.
When will you listen, child? Mariana needs you to reclaim the Eye of Night. Mariana wants you to reclaim it.
Why? I will give you nothing in return. To settle such a pact is the first step on the road that leads to corruption and treachery.
You have to do nothing except what you must do. A demon guards the tower where the Eye of Night resides. A prince who thought itself more important than Mariana. Who took from Mariana and did not settle its debt. You shall be Moriana's executioners.
The Inquisitor knew that there had to be more to Moriana's plan than she claimed, but would she ever reveal it? As much as the thought turned Greyfax's gut, the revelation of Horst's amnesia had wrong-footed her. It seemed the crone had the upper hand and would do whatever she pleased, regardless.
I concede the bargain. Tell me how to find this tower.
Tell you? Did Mariana survive 10,000 years by giving away Mariana's secrets without some measure of protection in return? No. Mariana did not. Mariana knows that your blade would cut Mariana's throat the moment the breath carrying that information leaves Mariana's body.
Then we are at a stalemate again, for I am not leaving here on your faithless word.
Mariana will conjure a guide for you to take you to the tower. Listen to Moriana's helper, and you will find the Eye of Night. Mariana has already told you why Mariana desires you to succeed.
I think we have no other choice. Agree to her terms.
It is deals like this that are the splinter in our souls. They seem but a pinprick at the time, but they worry and gnaw until the wound festers, and then all is corrupted and lost.
Do you have any other plan? I can remember nothing from the moment I came to this place to my awakening upon your arrival at Savarin.
You met the witch before. What did she demand of you then?
Horst shrugged.
The same I expect, but I failed. Now I have a chance to rectify that failure. If you would relinquish this foolish notion of spiritual purity. We were chosen to be inquisitors because we can carry the burden of such choices, not to shun it at the cost of others.
Greyfax knew what she had to do, but she found it hard to muster the words. She stared at the hag, racking her thoughts for a plan that would regain control of the situation, but there was nothing but acquiescence to the crone's demands.
Very well, Mariana. Send us your guide. I swear now, whether you have spoken right or wrong, I will return and kill you.
And I assure you, child, that should you try to do so, it is not I that will fall. Do you think you are the first to make such an oath?
Greyfax's attention was directed to Horst, perhaps as evidence of the crone's mysterious intent. She felt an itch in her soul, born of a deep loathing of all that had transpired. She desired nothing more than to quit this place, as though leaving it might cleanse the stain and stench of it from her soul. Yet as she left, Greyfax knew in her heart she had crossed a line she had told herself she could not uncross. Eye of Night, by Gav Thorpe. Performed by Annie Aldington, Gareth Armstrong, Cliff Chapman, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, and Melvin Rawlinson. Part 3. It wasn't just a physical wind that whined from the canopy of the diving Thunderhawk. Protected by an Aegis bubble generated from the psychic defenses of its occupants, the gunship literally cut through the soul stuff of the Eye of Terror, a pocket of reality in a sea of the immaterial. Within, order and sanity. Outside, raw chaos. The keening of damned spirits sounded in the heart and mind as much as the ears. They whispered their tragedies, each too quiet to be heard among the weight of their numbers, giving rise to a plaintive whole devoid of individuality. Now and then, a more powerful soul would slide against the shielded fuselage, its shrieked lament lost in the turmoil. Many times, more than she could remember, Greyfax had been called upon to enter battle during her service to the Emperor. Heretics, Xenos, mutants, rebels and demons had all fallen beneath her blade and bolter. This time felt different, a heightened sense of fate at hand. This was no ordinary world to which the gunship descended. She knew nothing of the nature of the foe she and Genhain's Grey Knights would face, other than that it would be demonic. Even this did not account for her unease. The source was easy to identify. It sat like a flame of blue and green upon the crash seat in front of her, no bigger than her thumb. Moriana's impish demon familiar had no face to speak of, and only the vaguest flicker of protrusions that might be called limbs. Even so, it appeared to be sitting on the edge of the bench with its arms folded and legs crossed, looking with energetic curiosity around the troop compartment of the Thunderhawk. It started humming to itself. Never before had Greyfax gone into battle with one of her sworn enemies as an ally, and the thought was chilling. If she could do this, what else was she capable of? How could she purge herself of this guilty act?
We are almost at the surface.
Greyfax looked out of the viewing port. The sky of the demon world was red-tinted. In the distance, clouds brewed and boiled, flickering with yellow lightning. Tortured faces flowing and changing within the roiling crimson masses. Below were mountains that looked like fangs. Each was a massive jag of ivory and black, seated in concentric circles of gum-like foothills. At their center, reared an immense black thorn of a tower, bedecked with turrets and spires. It seemed to briefly shimmer like crystal, as though its darkness was a mirage before resuming its somber and intimidating facade.
Bastiagar, the pillar of spite fulfilled. Shrine of the Wanderer. Prison of Agnarator, load of the Mother Spawn. Tower!
Shut up, spark of vileness! Where is the Eye of Night?
Starward. Gate of endless gates. Citadel of the Fate Weaver.
Understand. This, Ember of Chaos, my blade will separate you as easily as the air. Do not think that the amnesty extended to your mistress applies to you. Where in the tower do we find the Eye of Night?
Find it yourself, Ember Witch. So self-righteous. I smell that metal in you. Touched, impure, negative self. Approximates virtue.
The location. Now. Your summoner vowed and vouched. She desires our success.
Follow me, Huntress of the Shadow Empire.
The imp became even more of a wisp and floated up from the seat. Bobbing slightly as though caught on a current of air, it drifted through the hatch into the cockpit, then brightened as it became a spark in the gloom ahead. The pilot steered after the apparition, heading toward a spur low on the flank of the great tower. From below, a rainbow of colors erupted from an opening maw, engulfing the swooping gunship with demonic power, pressing in upon the psychic barriers. Along the kaleidoscope bridge, sword demon things, their streamlined predatory bodies edged with claws and spines, stingers trailing behind in the chaos current.
All stations, open fire!
The rounds of the heavy bolters had been anointed with the blood of saints. They flared into the otherness of the demon sphere, becoming cascades of cleansing lightning, swirling down upon the rising demons like the fury of a storm god. The imp demon took them directly through the gathering flock. Explosions of ichor and unreal blood spattered and rained as the Thunderhawk's weapons carved through the circling, swooping creatures. It became clear that they were headed for a wall connected to the promontory Greyfax had spied earlier, a parapet wide enough for the gunship to land. The wall was thronged with demon kin, bounding, cavorting horrors of cerulean hue, rowed about greater presences of pink that seemed part body and part miasma. They shifted endlessly, sparks of red and purple streaking up from fingers splayed towards the incoming gunship. The gunnery systems were turned toward the ground, now sowing droplets of black fire among the teeming mass. Into this convocation of death plunged the Grey Knight's transport, its presence anathema to the creatures below.
Armor, your souls! Follow me!
The moment the ramp was down, Greyfax led the charge. A bolter spat fury incarnate, every blessed projectile a white flare of purity. Around her erupted the storm of the Grey Knights,